Welcome to Crossroad International Church, where it's all about Jesus. If you are in Kuwait and looking for a church to call home, we would love the opportunity to welcome you at one of our Friday services. Now, here's this week's message.
Well, once again, welcome to our CIC Christmas special service. I'm going to share just a few moments, a message about Christmas and what it means. It won't be long. Then we've got another song after that, and then a couple of other things going on later. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. I'm not going to read it again. David did an excellent job for us at the beginning reading that, so thank you, sir. And let's just give those that participated a good hand of applause for all of the hard work. Amen. Thank you, guys. When I saw the choir come up, I was going to look to see if there was anybody left in the congregation. I mean, I think that's the biggest group we've ever had. 42? Awesome. Thank you, guys. Miller family, thank you, and the string ensemble, I was going to say string trio, but that works too. Okay, thank you guys, amen. You know, so often today in our society, we see Christmas with Christ removed, replaced with an X. Any of you ever seen it, Xmas? The world is trying to make Christmas a nameless holiday. They have taken Christ out and put in an X. Now, it may be appropriate if the X was a cross, but it's not. It's just an X. So Christ has been X'd out so that everybody can enjoy Christmas, whether you're a Christian or not. It has become a worldly celebration and a worldly holiday. But Christians know the truth. Christ must be the beginning of Christmas. Without Christ, there is no Christmas. We read in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20 of the coming of Christ, and it says that the angels appeared to the shepherds, declaring the birth of Jesus, the Son of David, who is the Christ, the Messiah. I think it's interesting that the angels did not come to the palace and announce Christ. No, the angels came to some lowly shepherds out doing their day-to-day occupation and announced that the Savior of the world is born. See, Jesus came for each one of us, regardless of our station in life. Jesus came to be our Savior. So it is in no way a nameless event, but it is a wonderful celebration of the greatest event in history, the birth of Christ, the reconciliation between God and man. Christmas must always start with Christ. My question I'm going to ask you several times today is, what can you do between now and Christmas Day to make sure you keep Christ in your Christmas? If you ask the average man on the street, what is Christmas about? Normally they'll say giving gifts. Or some people will get a little more selfish and say receiving gifts. You know, we were just in the States, and my daughter was talking about, you know, her hiding places so that the girls wouldn't know what they were getting for Christmas. But then they always want to know, you know, because a lot of times it's about giving. I mean, even here in this nation, go to the stores and you will see a whole display of stuff for Christmas. Even though it's not a holiday and it's not celebrated, it is a commercial holiday. The events leading up to the birth of Christ, they were not coincidental, but they were put in place by God so that prophecies of the Old Testament would be fulfilled. It wasn't a coincidence. I had a friend of mine in seminary gave me a wonderful definition of a coincidence. He said a coincidence is simply God working and us not giving him the credit for it. Think about it. Everything that happened from the time of the census was ordered to everyone returning to their city to be registered, to Joseph and Mary happening to be in Bethlehem when the birth took place, it was all orchestrated by God. Let me just give you a few scriptures. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Then he said, "Hear now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also?" Verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel." See, God predicted hundreds of years before the event that a virgin would give birth to the Messiah. Isaiah 9, 6-7, Dr. Joshua read, I think it was you that read it. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful." Listen to these names of our Messiah. His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. His name shall be called Mighty God. His name shall be called Everlasting Father. His name shall be called Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And then lastly, in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, prophecy about where the Messiah would be born. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler over Israel, whose goings forth from old, from everlasting." See, this event that we celebrate as Christmas, now if you do a lot of research, you'll find it probably wasn't December 25th. That's neither here nor there. We're taking that as the day that we celebrate the birth of Christ. This event separates history. It even separates our calendar. B.C., A.D., all based on the birth of Christ. It was an incredible event. Think about this. Jesus Christ left his throne in glory, took on human form like you and I, came to this earth to live as a man, to die as a man, to purchase our salvation. He was miraculously conceived, born of a virgin, born in the town of Bethlehem. He was a baby. We have some in here today. I love the little ones. I love it. One of my favorite things to do as a pastor is baby dedication and, you know, get to cuddle on those little ones. And then I was standing back here and I saw a couple of the bigger little ones trying to make the great escape. They've just learned how to crawl and, you know, Moms and dads, when they're in that stage, go buy you a couple of pairs of running shoes because it won't be long. They'll be running around. Jesus was first a baby. Then he was a toddler. He grew into adolescence and he became a man. Jesus can identify with every stage of life we're in, from infancy to manhood to adulthood. Jesus can relate. He experienced humanity at all levels. So he can identify with you and I. See, at this very first Christmas, God instituted gift giving. Because God gave the greatest gift that the world has ever known. And that was the gift of his son. And his son gave the greatest gift that a man can give, and that was he gave his life for us. God gave his best, his son. Jesus gave his life so that you and I could be sitting here today as sons and daughters of God. And see, because of this, we can have a relationship with God. Through Jesus, we are sons and daughters of the Most High. And I just want to share with you today that we need a relationship with Jesus. See, Christianity is not about a set of do's and don'ts. It's not a set of laws and regulations. Christianity is about a relationship between me and my God. And that relationship comes about because of Jesus who came, was born on Christmas, died on Easter to pay for my sins. Let me give you just a few reasons you need a relationship with Jesus. You might look at your life today and the circumstances that you are standing in front of, and you may say it is impossible. How many of you have ever faced a situation that you thought was impossible to get through? Let me see your hand. Many of us. But see, when I say it is impossible, Jesus in Luke 18:27 says, "But all things are possible if you believe." Amen. Another reason you need a relationship with Jesus is you might say, "I'm tired. I can't go on anymore." And Jesus says in Matthew 11:28 to 30, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." See, I've learned that when I try to do it in my own strength and my own power, I get weary and I get tired. Sometimes I want to give up. But when I just give it to God and spend time in his presence, there is rest. You might say, "I can't go on. I'm quitting. It's finished. I'm sorry. Can't do it anymore." But Jesus would say to us, "My grace is sufficient for you." Every day you and I need the grace of God. Last week we talked about grace a bit. God's riches at Christ's expense. Every one of us every day needs the grace of God in our life to be able to live for him. And then another thing you may say is, "I cannot do what God's called me to do." But Jesus would say, "You can do all things because of his strength." You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We, every one of us, every man, woman, boy, and girl needs a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that is what we are celebrating today. We are able to come here because we have a relationship with Jesus. No matter how secular the world is becoming, disregarding the truth of Christmas, let you and I boldly proclaim that Christ is the beginning of Christmas. Would you be willing to do that with me this year? Don't just Merry Christmas or put Xmas on your greetings or things, but tell people, Christmas. Let them know the reason and the purpose of Christmas. We must put Christ back in Christmas. So I want to close with this thought. This Christmas, bear in mind the true Christmas story, which led to the true Easter story. And let us give thanks and praise to our Heavenly Father for these events which have changed our lives forever. Think about that. The Christmas story leads to the Easter story. And those two stories, between the birth and the death of Christ, is our salvation. Jesus was tempted, as we heard last week, in every way that we've been tempted. Jesus knows us inside and out. He knows every aspect of human life. And we need to remind people of the true Christmas story. And don't do it just on Christmas. Let people know all through the year the reason for the Christmas story. And as Abiel, if you will come up and get ready for the next section, I just want to ask you to contemplate a couple of questions. What does Christmas mean to you? Is it about gift giving? Or is it about celebrating the birth of Christ? What are some ways that you can keep Christ in Christmas this year? Now, after the service, we're going to go up to the 11th floor and we're going to get some care bags to give out to people that are less fortunate to us. But let me ask you, don't just give it to them and say, hey, this is something for you. Give it to them and tell them, I'm doing this because I love you and Christ loves you. And we're doing this celebrating the birth of Jesus. Can we do that? To where it's not just something we're doing to appease ourselves because I'm helping somebody else less fortunate than me. But to make it meaningful that it is about the birth of Christ. And that is a practical way that you and I can show the love of Jesus to others. In Jesus' name, amen.